I find it more often than not, whenever we talk about Jesus, we often talk about grace and love, which is great because that's what he's about. But what I'm finding more often than not, that's all we're talking about. I love grace. I'm so grateful that he has given me grace, that he has showed me forgiveness and all of that. But I do think that there's so often we get so enamored by grace that we often forget about the obedience side of Christianity. Whereas we take Romans and we say, so should I go on sinning so that grace may abound? And it says, by no means should we do that. So the thought that came to my mind is maybe you've had this, a chore that you remember growing up that you just hated doing. You just couldn't stand doing this certain chore. For me, it was dishes. I hated dishes. We didn't have a dishwasher. We all of our water came from a cistern that we had to fill up periodically. And so we didn't, even when we finally got a dishwasher, we didn't use a lot because it used a lot of unnecessary water. And so we would hand wash all our dishes. So from top to bottom, from plates, silverware, glasses, pans, you name it, we hand washed it. And most of the time I would wash it and then pass it on to the next sink for my brother to rinse it and dry it and then put it away, because we weren't even allowed to let it put dry in the strainer, which sometimes we did, but my dad liked it a clear counter. So when he got home, he liked all the dishes put away. So that's what we did. It was tedious. It was meticulous. It was one of those chores that, give me a lawnmower and a weed eater and go outside, I was happy. But if it came down to it, I couldn't stand doing dishes. But it turns out that ended up being my punishment if I did something wrong. And so maybe that's what led to it being one of my least favorite chores. But it's funny how I think if I could have done, like, if there was anything that I could have just written off and never had to do again chore-wise, it would have been doing the dishes. But I know my parents wanted me to, and they'd ask me to do it or tell me to do it, and I'd have to do it. I think that's what we do sometimes with Christianity, though. There's certain things in Christianity that we don't necessarily like doing, but it's a commandment. And so we're supposed to do it. But I think for us, we oftentimes can come up with this mentality that I don't have to. And so we write it off. Well, the Bible speaks clear to this. And I want to start off really quick by talking about these commandments that God's given us. And they're written throughout the Bible. It's not just the magical 10 that's in Exodus, but there's so many commands that he gives us, and his will is for us to do his bidding and to give him glory. And so ultimately, I'm drawn to 1 John. 1 John 2:4 says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. This is one of those fruits that we see, whether or not we are saved or whether or not we do truly love God. And then we also see it, 1 John 5:2-3 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. It's amazing that he puts that in there, that they're not burdensome, because sometimes we feel that they are. But it's the same mentality as if you love somebody. Let's say you love your spouse, and you know that your spouse's pet peeve is leaving your towel on the floor after you take a shower. Well, after a while, after she talks to you about it, or he talks to you about it, you start hanging that towel up, and it actually becomes habit. You do it because you, out of love for your spouse, you don't want to bother your spouse. You don't want to hurt them. You don't want to continue doing something that bugs them. So out of love, you do it. You don't do it and then go in there and go, hey, I just put that towel up just so you know, I love you. And you don't do that. You do it out of love for your spouse. And there's so many other examples that you could talk about. You play with your kids because you love them. You buy things for your friends because you love them. You do it out of love for your, you don't do it because you're proving your love. You do it because you love them. And that's the thing about this idea of commandments and obeying them. And that's why they're not burdensome, because you do it out of the love of your heart for God. That's why it says, when we love God and obey his commandments. So out of our love for God, we obey his commandments. Here's what's cool too. So if we turn to Proverbs 7, 1 through 3, we see in Proverbs Solomon talking about commandments and how we should view them. He says in chapter 7, verse 1, he says, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So we see treasure up commandments so that we value commandments. We keep the commandments so we obey. We keep the teaching so we're learning and we're applying. We bind them on our fingers so it's a constant reminder of his commandments. We're constantly looking at our hands, so therefore that's what it is. It's kind of like your marriage, your wedding ring. It's, you're binding it on your finger to remind you that you're married. Hopefully you remember, but it's symbolism. Write them on the tablet of your heart. This is the idea of change. This is the idea that I am now changed from the inside out. I've written them on the tablet of my heart, and therefore now my actions leading forward will be out of love for God, and that will be keeping his commandments. But it's kind of, when we look at 1 John 5, when it says they're not burdensome, I think that we walk through life and we look at that, we go, but it is burdensome. There are things that I struggle with. There are things that are tough for me, or tougher for me, like in comparison to someone else. So where it may not be a burden for them, it is a burden for me. And we do this thing where when we do mess up, we're like, why me, God? Why do I have this thing that I have to deal with my whole life? Why do I have this sin problem, this action that I, or desire, and I just can't help but give into this temptation? And we actually end up coming up with a million excuses on why we're not obeying rather than continuing to love God. Well, I want to give you hope in this. In the chat, in the book of John, in chapter 14, verses 15, Jesus is, he just gets done saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So he's establishing himself as the propitiation for our sins. But he says this in verse 15 of chapter 14, and it's phenomenal. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So he states this. Jesus is the one stating this in the book of John, as John also will say later. But this is what I love, is he says that, and you can imagine his disciples just going, okay, I have to keep these commandments. God, there's a ton of commandments that I have to really take care of now. And he says this, I love this about Jesus. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. How cool is that? Jesus, knowing our fallibility. We're going to mess up. We're going to be tough. Like, we're going to have struggles. We're going to have temptations that are going to be difficult to overcome. He says this. He goes, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if I love Jesus, I'm going to keep his commandments. And Jesus, knowing my heart, he's sending me a helper. He's going to send me something, someone, to help drive me towards God, to help overcome the temptation, to help overcome those times of when I feel it's a burden. He's sending me a helper. And here's what's cool about it. He says, you know him. You know him already. I'm not sending something unfamiliar. I'm not sending something confusing. I'm sending someone that you already know to help you. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's God himself coming to help you obey his commandments. How cool is that? And he says, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I just think about, in the Old Testament, when Moses has all of these burdens. He goes and he goes up on the mountain and gets 10 commandments, comes back down. Everyone has just succumbed to a golden calf. Creates a golden calf. Can you imagine the burden on him? Because he knows, like, I love my God and I want to keep his commandments and I want these people to do as well. Could you imagine how much more secure Moses would have been had he known that he had the Holy Spirit not just dwelling beside him, but inside him? And we have that. And in our times of trouble, in our times of when we're faltering, in our times of weakness, God's not going, hey, if you love me, keep my commandments, good luck. He's going, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'm going to help you through that. I'm going to help you do exactly that. So I don't know where your struggle is, and I don't know what you're dealing with, but I do know we have a helper. We have a Holy Spirit. We have someone who's willing to come alongside us and really drive us towards the Lord, to him, because he loves us. Isn't that cool? He loves us, and so he helps us, just like if we love him, we'll keep his commandments.